You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey guys, welcome back to the B List. I'm B, and I'm with a return guest this week. He's a special guest, Gibson Johns. You guys know him from his podcast. The podcast is Gabbing with Gib. And what was the previous name of the other?
We Should Talk was my show with Yahoo, yes, but I'm right. no longer at Yahoo. So yeah,
Gabbing with Gib has great guests. I mean, you've had on Brian Moreland recently. He had some really. What was the theme of that episode? Because you were talking about, well, it's just like the state of Bravo, right?
Yeah. So with him, we basically just went through every single Real Housewives franchise that's on right now and like kind of checked in. And then with Bryce from ET, who does like a lot of the big interviews around Housewives, we kind of like unpacked why this current moment is like, we're in sort of like the era of the shakeup and the cast changeup and the reboot. And so we kind of like analyze it from that perspective.
It was really interesting, both episodes. Also, both of those guests have been on this podcast. If you guys want that, go back and check out previous episodes. We've all been. Everyone's been here. Gabs, Gibson, everything. But let's get right into it. Well, first things first, Coachella starts again in like 2 days, right? Or is it tomorrow? Mm-hmm. No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I guess, yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not. But I do love Doja Cat. That was like, I did see the video of her. And she is all-time top performer, I think, so early on in her career. As just like an interesting, you may not like love her music, even though I actually do. Like, she's a great rapper and a great performer.
Yeah, she's an amazing performer. I just like the music has not connected for me yet. Okay. She has it in her, but I feel like she hasn't gotten the formula like quite perfect yet. Like, but I know she has it in her to do so. I just like, for me, it hasn't fully connected, but like, her performances themselves are insane. Like, I went to Coachella a couple of years ago and she was insane there. Like, it was so wild.
She's interesting. I feel like some of the most popular songs that she has, I feel like she doesn't want to perform. I feel like she doesn't love her pop stuff as much as the rest of the world does. It's so funny because Kiss Me More is like one of the most pop songs of
Kiss Me More, Say So, like those are just like those are like bubblegum perfection in my mind. And so like I always think it's so interesting when an artist like hates their most popular songs. I think it's sort of like, I don't know, like, does she perform them, do we know? Does she hate them that much she doesn't even perform them?
I don't think she really does. Unless it's like an awards show, but
those songs like aren't old enough for me to like kind of like give you a pass for not performing them yet. You know what I mean?
Like, they're like fresh. Like, that's pandemic. Right.
Those were like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Fuck.
But yeah, Coachella overall, I'm just sort of like, I had my period where I really cared about it. And now I'm just sort of like, I'll get the highlights when I get them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just influencer fest at this point. So, speaking of airports, travel, all of that, I have so much airport gossip recently. Okay, so I told, if you were listening last week, guys, I talked about with the previous guest that an ex was on a flight to London, and he texted me like at 7 a.m. in the morning. He's like, "I'm on a flight to London, and the Real Housewives of OC are on my flight, and they're filming and talking the entire time, and just walking around the plane and talking." And like, he said they were really friendly. This is so funny because he doesn't even like watch Housewives, but he just like knew. He's like, "Oh, these are clearly Housewives." He didn't even know what city, actually. So we had to like help me, had to send videos, but it was like, or photos. It was like Shannon, obviously.
Amazing.
But yeah, they went to London. They fought the entire time in London, apparently. Mm-hmm. God, they're going to save us. They are going to save us.
I think that this season of OC has the ingredients to be it's a classic in the making. I think there are so many different threads to pull at, like truly, and that audio leaked from the Shannon and Tamara, some fight they had in London, pub. but we don't have like that much context for it, which I love. Like, I love that there's sort of like a tease that was sort of like leaked clearly, but like, we still don't really know exactly how we get there. And like, I don't love when things leak, but I'm just like, let us have like an amazing season that we don't know that much about yet. So I feel like I'm excited for that.
There's going to be so much that we don't see, to kind of recap for anybody that isn't so chronically online as me, right, and Gibson. No, apparently some audio leaked from someone recording in a restaurant and the girls are screaming at each other. Obviously it's going to be Tamara, because she's, you know, if someone's screaming in OC, it's Tamara. And usually Shannon, but it's Shannon and Tamara, and they're going back and forth. And you could just hear from across a restaurant, Tamara goes, "You drove your house, your car into a fucking house." She says that. So I'm like, it's gonna be good.
So we're still talking totally about the, we're still you. Talking about that DUI like months.
How could
and months
you not?
Later.
How I mean, could you not?
Listen, I don't blame them. I don't
How
blame
could
them.
You not say cunt.
Listen, they should be talking. They should they should be talking about the Karen Huger DUI on next season of Potomac. I'm a Karen stan, but that's got to be discussed. You know,
they're gonna talk about that for two seasons on that show since they don't have else. But we'll get to them. So that was interesting, some news. But then other airport gossip that I got literally an hour before we got on here, an old friend of mine, shout out Katie, she met Trishelle in an airport, and they were chatting. And I guess I shouldn't have given my source away. I'm such a terrible. I came from the Wendy Williams School of Journalism. Forgive me. I'm like, shout out to Katie.
Don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But she met Trishelle in the airport, and she said that they were talking all about the show. She said that Trishelle has a feeling that Johnny Bananas is going to be coming back
to the Traitors,
which makes sense. I feel like there's a way that they would probably, I don't know, it sounded like she had some kind of, because she does talk to Johnny Bananas, so yeah, it would make sense. Yeah, they're like,
I mean, I guess I'm not anti it. I just, my issue with Johnny Bananas is that like, his energy like fills up the entire room. So if he's around for too long, it will become the Johnny Bananas show. And I don't really need that.
Yeah, I'm glad he
I liked the Phaedra show last season. Yeah,
for sure. But I do think it's interesting. And I feel like if anyone were to come back, it would be him, because he was literally, he didn't even get to sleep over. Yeah. Right. So, right. Yeah.
oh my God.
What airline? Do you think it was Spirit? I didn't ask. It is Trishelle.
Trishelle got the Traitors money. B, like, come on, like, give her.
You saw how she was dressing. The money didn't go anywhere good, especially after taxes. Spirit Airlines. I just saw a video earlier today, and they were fighting as usual, as one does when you get in the spirit.
I have a recent Spirit experience, actually.
Oh shit! Oh wow! Okay.
My friends and I wanted to go to Miami in January. The flights were crazy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take one for the team and I will do Spirit so I can be on this trip. I had just lost my job. So, you know, like, give me some space.
Yeah.
And totally fine flight. But there was a woman across the aisle from me who was like, it was like an 8 a.m. flight, and she was knocking back the minis. And there was a group of little girls in front of me, and they were playing some game on this like thing that was making this like popping noise. Mm-hmm. And by the time we landed, the girl across from me gets on FaceTime with her friend. She's like, "Get me off this fucking flight. This has been the flight from hell." And I'm like, I thought it was pretty fine. And she was like, She was like, the girls in front of me were snap, crackling, and popping the whole time.
Oh, no.
Just the people on these flights, yeah, they are no, just it's
the soul plane.
They're a rare breed.
It's something else. What do I need to do to get Spirit Airlines a Netflix reality show?
Oh, the things I would do. The things I would do. What network would that? Oh, I guess that would be on use of Netflix. So I feel like it would fit somewhere else better. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the streaming ones. Peacock.
Oh my god, that's a good idea.
Let's see. I'm not even gonna mention this really. I'm not gonna go into detail about it, but right before we got on, there's an article circulating about Andy Cohen making a departure. He's in negotiations for a departure package underway as he grapples with the fallout from the mounting accusations by the Bravo stars. Listen, people, the person I think that wrote that article has worked for the National Enquirer, I believe, for almost a decade. I don't even remember their name, but I looked that up. And everyone's debunking it. I think I even saw you debunk it, right?
Yeah, it's like it's like the headline is like, you know, he's in negotiations and there's like three paragraphs. And like the fifth paragraph is like, Bravo and Cohen have both denied these claims. And insider says this cannot be further from the truth. It's like, okay, well, then it's not true. But yeah, it's interesting to me that people, there's like a faction of people that really want that to be true, though, you know, and it's kind of like a once a year, it kind of like makes the rounds, I feel like.
I think it's really interesting. And I think it's really strange how much the fandom hates Andy Cohen sometimes and wants. It's like, it's very strange because these are people that talk nonstop about this network and the shows. Exactly. And it's kind of, for some of them, a facet of their personality, and they just really want some of them to fail. It's really strange to watch, you know.
It's really strange. And I think Housewives and Bravo would survive without him? Yes. Yeah. But I'm like I don't think that anybody's really ready for that reality, to be honest. Like, and I don't think there's no obvious person that could step in and do as good of a job as he does. It's basically an impossible job, but like, I don't know. I just don't think what people, I don't really know what people expect. Like, what's the other option?
Is there any housewife, current or former, or maybe a Bravo celebrity that you think of that would be a good?
I don't know. It's like the 2 years ago when they started making the rounds, it was the name that everyone was rumored to be thinking would take his place was Craig Conover for some reason, which would literally never happen.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I feel like there has to be some sort of like
division
and like a difference, and like the person who's hosting and moderating. Like, I feel like there has to, and I don't know who that is. Like,
I feel like at one point it could have been Jerry O'Connell, but I just don't think he's that interesting or that.
I also don't think he can be serious enough. I think he can. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but
he definitely was like in that realm for a little bit. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Oh, it breaks my brain to think about, honestly.
I know.
And honestly,
too.
I don't really. Yeah, I can't spend too much time on it because it's like I don't want to kind of imagine what that universe would be, how terrible it could be. I mean,
I know, God. And you have to imagine that, like. I mean, you know, they say that like to be a really good leader, you have to have like a good succession plan. So like they have to like be thinking about that at some point, but I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So they put all their eggs in this basket, and I mean, I love it. I just don't really get why other people don't.
Marcus and Larsa are back together, I guess. They were spotted together in Miami Beach.
I love me some Larsa, but come on. I mean, I do kind of, it makes me laugh that they're getting back together the week that Alexia is getting divorced. the timing is not a coincidence, but
I feel like she could have just been with him and just.
But she's been posting these Instagrams, B, that are like, a phoenix rises from the ashes she's better totally on my girl. Own. Like, she's been doing this for the past month. So like all of a sudden to be with Marcus again on the beach, I'm like, the timing to me is
she's
not coincidence.
So fake deep, that one.
But I love it. Like, there's something that I just can't resist about her.
Oh yeah. She's a great villain. Alexi and Todd, I mean, I was really shocked by that. But then at the same time, I feel like it was really clear that they kind of like cover up a lot of stuff in their relationship from the show.
Right.
I've never really been a huge Todd fan, to be quite honest. I've always kind of thought how interesting it could be if she was single on the show. Yeah, I thought.
I don't know. There were moments where I did like him. Like I thought that he actually showed like good tough love with her son, and like he was, I don't know, he was like this figure for them for like a little bit. But I agree, there was always something else to the story, yeah. And like I kind of felt like he wanted the fame that she brought to their relationship, but yeah. He didn't want the kind of fame that he ended up getting. Like when he was posting those embarrassing social media videos, like he would post these.
He had to apologize.
Right. And then people kept dunking on him. And like, remember at the beginning of last season, like he like didn't go to Alexia's first party because he was embarrassed and didn't want to be talking about it. So like, I think that it didn't go the way that he envisioned it going in that respect. That's my theory.
He didn't have a lot of foresight. He's definitely someone who I think who like doesn't really watch a lot of reality TV, but definitely signed up to be on a show. Uh-huh. Excited for it. So I think she's going to be better off.
Me too.
Crystal is leaving Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm sad about it, honestly. I mean,
I'm sad too.
She brings nothing, let's be honest, but it's like this weird kind of housewife where I just like that she's in the room. Like I think Crystal would probably be the funnest person to know in real life. Quite boring to watch on a show like this, but I still kind of just wanted her there. I don't know, but it makes sense that she's not on it anymore.
Yeah,
Anne Marie, however, can kick rocks.
Anne Marie, I mean, she's out here feuding with a fake Crystal.
That's what I was going to say. If you guys aren't caught up, the other day, I guess the day that she announced that Crystal announced that she wouldn't be returning to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I forget how it started. I forget who whacked who first, but this parody account for Crystal started going back and forth with Anne Marie, and Anne Marie kind of like weirdly kind of like hinted that there was probably drug abuse or something by the use of emojis and just all this. It was really strange. And then if everyone found out that Anne Marie was beefing with a parody account, Anne Marie's since deleted the tweet, but go away. Just like literally leave us alone. And she's tweeting all this weird stuff. And it's like, ma'am, you have 644 friends or followers.
No, like, it's like tiptoeing into like Siggy Flicker MAGA territory for me. And so
she's already halfway there with
MAGA totally stuff, so. Totally, but like I'm like I don't even want this on my timeline. And when you when you quote tweeted her, like she like she's never gonna make me hate Crystal, like I was just I'm just preemptively blocking her because I don't want her on my I don't want to see that. Exactly. You got the reference. And like Amory, she was a total flop from start to finish. Crystal, I feel like we never fully got to see like who Crystal actually is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know whether it was like her edit or like how she was on camera, but she actually does seem like the person who you'd actually want to be friends with. And like, I interviewed her this past season and we stayed on for 30 minutes after we stopped recording. Mm-hmm. And we just like, and I was like, oh, like this is Crystal. Yeah, it was like she was like spilling and she was like talking about all the Amory stuff and like that's who she is in real life. And like I just don't think we ever got to see that. Exactly. She's a cool girl. And she's a little bit condescending, but in a way that I love. Like I like
it's a very millennial kind of like know it all. I mean, look, I get it. You know what I mean? I think that's why I'm drawn to her. I like her. You're never gonna make me hate her. Sorry.
I'll miss her. She's kind of like an Eileen Davidson type, but like more millennial. Like I'm down. I'm gonna miss her.
I could see that. Are there any other housewives right now that you feel like we haven't really fully cracked the surface of who they are as a person? When I think of Crystal and I think of her potential on that show, I always think back to, and this is not a drag, I love Dolores, but we have not yet ever seen Patterson Dolores. We've talked a lot about Patterson Dolores, but how many seasons has Dolores been on? 6, 7?
A lot more than that, I think.
More than that? Shit.
Because Marge has been on for like 6 or 7 at this point. Like, and Dolores has been around for longer.
Yeah. So I just but I still feel like obviously we have a good idea of who Dolores is, but there's other parts of Dolores that I feel like she still is so good at filming that she's able to kind of like keep it separate.
I think you're right. I'm trying to think of who else I feel that way.
I think Emily Simpson.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I'm not.
Unless
I'm
she always is just that carefree and kind of like, I mean, she's to be a lawyer and a party planner or event planner, there's got to be a level of like uptightness and kind of like controlling. I don't really totally get that from her on the show, but you know,
Yeah.
I'm just inferring.
I kind of think that you could make that argument, make the argument that we haven't seen the fullness of any of the Salt Lake women, to be honest. Like, and that's kind of like why.
That's a good thing.
That's kind of like why I love Salt Lake, because like it's just like this like postmodern, like almost parody of a housewife in some of a housewife show in some ways. And like
the deconstructed,
they all kind of play characters. Yeah. And so like, to me, there are definitely sides, and I love both of them, but there are definitely sides of like Meredith and Lisa that we have never seen before. And we probably will never see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess we got glimpses like during the, like, you know, the off the hot mic thing, but like, to me, those women, like they play a certain character and I love that about them. But like, what's happening when that's turned off? Like, I really don't. And Heather Gay, I feel the same way about.
Okay. One person I think we could really benefit from having a hot mic moment from is Uba. I think Uba would give a hot mic. I just,
we need to break her artifice.
Yeah, I feel like there's something there. I feel like, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, guys. I
no,
like Uba, but I just feel like we're probably at one point gonna get a hot mic moment from Uba. I feel there's gonna be something. I'm excited for New York. So news just broke this week. Rebecca Minkoff, designer, will be holding, well, we don't know if she's going to hold an apple or she'll be in what capacity, whether it's full-time, part-time, friend, whatever, she'll be there in the room. What do you think? I have a lot of people, the fervor online has been pretty negative, just because I think Rebecca, I didn't know this, but apparently she has ties to Scientology. Apparently she's donated over $2 million, it's been reported, to Scientology Church. Listen, they are trying to give you guys the mess that you guys said you wanted. And
exactly.
What do you do?
And
I'm not like you say you like mess, but then when we hire messy people, then it's like, what do you want? Because I know that Jessel's gonna sit down and probably be like, so tell me, are you tight? You know what I mean? I feel like,
no, exactly. Like do I support necessarily having a Scientologist being, quote, like given the platform? Like, obviously
no,
not. Like,
I do not.
It's a cult. They do bad shit. Like, I do not support that. But do I support bringing on like a prominent person who this part of their life is going to be kind of unearthed and like put in the spotlight? And if the other women know what's good for them, they will make it like one of the primary storylines of this season. Then yeah, I support that, because it's going to be a good show, and it's going to like bring this kind of thing that we've never seen on Housewives before, which is Scientology's never, we talked about Mormonism, we never talked about Scientology. And like, I'm just like, you know what, let's just go for it. And I read the Page Six article about it, and apparently there's a photo of Rebecca Minkoff and Danny Masterson from one of her store openings 10 years ago. And the Page Six article says that picture's already being texted around the group. So all signs are pointing to that actually coming to the surface and being something. And I'm here for it. It's what the show needs.
So guys, just shut up. Like, first it was too boring. Now, like, it's too, just don't watch
now
Roni.
It's too problematic.
Like,
I know.
Right? It's like, just don't watch it. You don't have to watch it. Like, y'all are killing me.
I know.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm hype. It's gonna be great. They've already been filming. I think Jenna was filming at the Standard, I wanna say.
I saw that. Yep.
Right? In the East Village, right? Mm-hmm. I recognize that little, it's the outdoor thing.
Yep, right outside where there's a gay bar there, right? It's like no bar or something like that.
Yeah. No bar. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would make sense.
Love that. Yeah. I was having brunch on Sunday in Soho, and I saw Jenna Lyons and her girlfriend walking. And I was like, damn, this is something that I can see in real life, but I'm never gonna see it on Roni, because she's not gonna put her girlfriend on Roni, which is another thing that the women should bring up. It's like, why do you get to do this? So
I'm sure they will.
I hope so. Come on, Aaron.
And let's get this season fucking filmed so we have some stuff to watch in the fall.
That part.
Real Housewives of Potomac, Robin confirmed that she's fired this week. Where else than other than her podcast? That's where she confirmed it, because she puts everything behind a paywall these days. But I guess she would have to put something behind a paywall when you're banished away to a zero income, loveless household on the outskirts of Potomac, Maryland. But good luck, Robin. We love you.
Not even North Potomac.
Yeah. Or wherever it was, Roanoke or some shit. I don't know. What do you make of this? Listen, I joke. We call her Broke Bin on this podcast for years. It's really sad to see her leave. It's not even like an intelligent, like, broke bin. That's there's not a, it's not even a ring to it. It's
that's
just like
hanging fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
that's what
I
we do over here.
I
oh my
think
god,
that
would be a great name for a podcast, by the way. Me and you, low hanging fruits.
That is a really good, because Julia Fox has forbidden fruits, but I think low hanging fruits would be good.
If I ever need a rebrand of this podcast, I'm calling it Low Hanging Fruits, and it's going to be just gay men podcast.
Let's do it.
Yeah, here we go.
I can picture the podcast art already. Yeah. No, I think Robin leaving is the correct call, like, all around. I think it frees up. I think it, you know, makes Giselle, like, it puts her back into the deep end, and she'll swim because she's a good housewife, but, like, she'll have to, like, figure it out, not having a built-in ally. I think Robin was served the primary storyline on a platter this season, having to like talk about all the wand stuff that she had revealed on the paywall on her podcast, like after last season. So like she could have been the primary person on this season with the best storyline, but she didn't want to play ball. Wand didn't want to play ball. And like, if you're not going to play ball with like the easiest like thing to talk about, then like, then you've gotten too comfortable, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm good with her saying goodbye.
Couldn't have been surprised when she showed up on the reunion set and found that she was third seat down on a season that was supposed to be about her.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah,
exactly. So
honestly, I didn't even watch the reunion, the third part. Didn't even finish it. I mean, maybe I will. I don't know. I just don't care. Like, and then we're talking to what's her face? The friend of, see, this is how bad.
Oh, Kiarna.
Kiarna, yeah, we're asking her about some fight about with a bunch of women that we don't even really know. It's like
yeah, it's like the season got good at the end, but like, or better at the end, but like it was with all these, the drama was women that are barely on the show, so it was just sort of like, what are we doing here? Like, it's, and we had to resort to like, you know, a physical fight to get interesting. So
yeah
they need to reset.
Tabitha could fix them. Tabitha would give me a case. I'm taking over. She would have Mia do a, she would have Mia at like somehow she would have Mia and Mr. G.
Is that his name? Just G.
Mr. Oh, I'm thinking of Mr. G from Summer Heights High.
commonly confused. It's
very different. Yes. She would make Mr. G do a paternity test right then and there. Give me a case. I'm taking over. Do a paternity test. Pissing this cup or whatever.
God, I'd watch the shit out of that.
It would be so good. Just her revamping shows would be so good. Yeah.
God. Just to stand in for all the producers. Yeah. I mean, listen, bring her back.
I'm
down.
We could skip around with this, but this is actually the first thing on my list this week. Tabitha's salon takeover, because as we know, on April 15th, all these legacy Bravo shows came back to the, or were introduced to the Peacock platform. Tabitha salon takeover being one of them, and then just Tabitha takeover too, right? But I'm still on like on season one of Tabitha salon takeover. Genius television, one of the best reality shows to ever do it. It's just great. It's amazing. And I'm savoring every minute. After every episode, I even go back and I Google which salons and I try to see if they're still in business. Most of them
are any of them still in business? Most of them are or aren't.
De Cielo, which was in episode 2, still somehow is. Yeah, a lot of them actually aren't. So, but I'm still pretty early into season 1. So check back with me.
Let's see. You start, because one of the things that I was obsessed with is
through
part
no fault
of
hers
as well. Right. But like, so you're starting with Tabitha in the vault. That's that's where that's your starting point.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm starting with NYC Prep. That's where I'm off in the vault.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Gonna make my way through, but that's one of my obsessions right now because I've watched the first 2 episodes.
The timing of this was really genius. The fact that there's no real housewife shows on besides New Jersey for a while in Dubai, which is, I don't really count. But like, I'm also, I wrote here / Real Housewives of DC because, I mean, I had already rewatched it in recent years. So it wasn't that, you know, it's not that fresh, I guess, for me. But I had some ideas about it. I just like, it just gets funnier the more I watch it. Like, they were putting Stacey, the Black woman, through it. With every single episode, there's some race baiting shit or like just some. It was just such a different time, but they are putting my mama through it. She's so tired of these white women. She's also like the most unassuming housewife ever. She's the most unhousewife, right?
Yeah, it's just a different era. I watched DC back when it aired, but I haven't watched it since. That's next on my list to rewatch. Yeah. So like, it's really going to be like an unearthing for me. But like, I do remember Stacey being that way. It was sort
and
of
you're
like
from DC.
I'm from DC. Yeah, mm-hmm. And like. And DC is like a majority black city. So like, it's one of those things where it's like, it was all these white women and like one black woman. And I guess like in, if you think about the history of like housewives, like giving us quote unquote diverse cast, like DC was kind of ahead of its time. Cause it was like, mm-hmm. you know, like it was like the flip side of Atlanta, but like, her being alone was just like so unfair and just setting her up to like, oh, just take it. And I'm a little nervous to rewatch the show actually, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it is very interesting. It's a kind of a relic. But I was thinking a bit about that, just the Stacey factor and this woman, Kat, who's on it, Catherine, who I remember liking when I originally watched the show. But now that I'm rewatching it, I'm like, I cannot stand this woman. I can't stomach her. So it's just like, she was a different type of housewife. She's the British one, I think.
The British one. Yeah.
And I was just thinking about like how the types of housewives that we used to value at that time it's just like changed dramatically. And just the women that we put on these shows, and also just even down to like the age ranges, like Linda was kind of significantly older, I think, than mm-hmm. what a typical new housewife would be. But I was thinking, I wanted to ask you your opinion. There's only five women. There's mm-hmm. Mikhail, there's Stacey, there's Linda, there's Mary, and there's Catherine. If you were to scratch DC, if you had to bring these women back, but you had to relocate them today, where would you put them?
Where would I put them?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, I'll go first, right? So Mikhail,
okay.
The most controversial, histrionic. I mean, I would not really histrionic because she doesn't really yell and scream, but she's just like, I feel like I'm like, are you on something? You're on something, right? She's jittery.
There's something going on.
She's
erratic. There's something in the system.
Yeah, something going on. And then the money's funny. I see her on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She would somehow be in between Elisa Barlow and a Meredith. She would be.
But that show would implode with her on there.
Yeah. Mikhail Salahi on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Oh, imagine her and Mary interacting, please.
Oh my God. That would just like, it would be genius.
Oh my God.
Do you agree with that one?
I do agree with that one. And then I'm thinking, I'll jump in. I think Linda, you mentioned Linda. Yeah. She was always like the no bullshit one. She's going to New York, I feel. She's like, to me, she has kind of a New York energy. There's this line that she says, and at some point, I forget exactly what she's talking about, but she calls some event a goat rodeo. And that just lives rent free in my head. And I'm like, she
does it in the first episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm just sort of like, put her on New York. She would fit in, especially with the OG Roni people.
I wrote Dallas for Linda, but.
Okay. Listen,
she's kind of Southern,
I'm here for it.
You know,
yeah.
She's kind of more about like society. Mary, I said, was Ross's in New York.
Okay. I see that too.
Like a young mom, kind of like with Aaron, maybe. Kat, the British one. I wrote Beverly Hills, mainly just because she's like kind of worldly, travels
a
lot.
Like a cosmopolitan. Yeah. I get that. I'm picturing her like in another world, like her, she had joined Beverly Hills when, Carlton joined Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah. Yeah. You know, that kind of, yeah, that vibe. And then lastly, I wrote Stacey, clearly Potomac. She's a DC girl. She's such a DC girl. She would do great on Potomac.
Do you think she would pop more? Yeah, you think she would pop more on Potomac?
I do, just because I feel like they've gotten so crazy. And that's another thing is I'm watching DC and it just really, the men were all hanging out. And I just feel like the age range, like the median age is like a bit older than what we've kind of trended with Potomac, and it made me miss the earlier seasons of Potomac when it was Charisse, Karen, Giselle, like, and it just like the everyone in the room was a bit older and a little more chill, so it kind of made me miss those early days.
Yeah, you have to have like some gravitas, I think, like overall as a group, like, and I agree, like Potomac has been missing some of that recently. Yes. I totally agree with that.
Stacey would have been great on like early Potomac. I don't see Stacey existing now on the current.
She would have been eclipsed, but I think that she could have fit in with like a Charisse and early Karen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to ask you the first thing on your list this week.
Yeah, so NYC Prep was definitely on the list, like, because that okay. I've just jumped into that. It's kind of like we were just talking about, just like a, it's a, such a jump back in time, and like it is watching it. It's like it's just so clearly modeled off of like Gossip Girl and just these like such like layup tropes of like you have the public school girl and then and she doesn't have enough money to like go shopping with the other girls, but like the other girls invite her to go shopping with them and intermix so that they can like get the tea on some guy that she's hooking up with. Like it's just like so the way they talk is just beyond, and like it's a total parody, and you can just tell that like they basically all signed up to do this show to like add to their college resumes or their resumes for college. And like it totally backfired on all of them. But like it is fascinating, honestly. Yeah. It's a relic. And it could not happen today. It could not happen.
No, absolutely not. I'm gonna go back and watch that one, but I think after, because I mean I like was in and out of that show when it was actually on. But I don't think
It's just like it was like it's pre-social media. They mentioned Facebook and they all have Blackberries, and it's just like refreshing that there's like an imperfect like, you know, frame to it. And it makes me miss those days sometimes. But I recommend rewatching it because it's just like it's hilarious.
Ooh, Blackberries. Whenever I was on my Blackberry, you couldn't tell me I wasn't running a corporation. I was like boom, 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 boom. When I was on BBM, I just felt like business. Yeah, right.
Oh my god, I miss BBM. Yeah. I know.
The second thing on my list this week, actually, I don't remember if I talked about it last week because I feel like the trailer came out after the episode for last week came out. But the Maxine trailer, are you familiar?
I watched the trailer, but I have not seen that. It made me want to go back and watch the first. It made me want to go back and watch the first two movies.
Yeah, so it's Maxine is the new A24 movie. It stars Mia Goth. It's basically the third in a trilogy of, I guess they're horror films, but I almost want to call them like thriller-ish because it's like about suspense, I guess, but it is pretty gory at times. But yeah, Maxine, basically the short end of it is that she is this is a character that was in the first one, and this follows her in 1985 to Hollywood. She is an adult film star who's trying to break into the mainstream. But the story also takes place at the same time as the Night Stalker, who is an actual serial killer in LA. So there's a lot of moving parts. Someone stalking her. Halsey's in it randomly, which I'm interested in knowing why.
I feel like she's been silent lately. We haven't heard much from her.
Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth Debicki, who played Princess Di in The Crown. So the cast is stacked. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I'm just really starting to get into Mia Goth.
So is the character not in the second movie in the trilogy? Is that character not in that?
So she plays in every Mia Goth is in every single one, but she plays different characters. She plays two different characters. See. And the character that she's continuing in this was not at all in the second one, because the second one was a prequel of the first one. If that makes sense.
There we go. I'll be watching.
Yeah. It's worth going back and watching. It's very interesting, kind of the way that the story weaves. But I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, people were hype about that. And so
there's a reason.
That's when the hype works. And I'm like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna jump in.
I wouldn't lead you wrong. I wouldn't lead you wrong. This is going to be the movie event, I think, of the summer. It comes out like for July 4th weekend, I want to say. So
stunning. Love.
We will be seated, as they say.
Yes, as they say, as they say.
What's on your list? What else?
Okay. The song that I cannot get out of my head.
Is it that damn?
It's Espresso.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that, damn. I thought you were going to say the one from the demo that JoJo Siwa did, but like people were...
Oh my God, no, not...
No, like it's like there's a demo that came out that before her...
And it's charting higher. It's charting higher on the streaming charts than that. Yep. I cannot get enough of the Sabrina Carpenter song, Espresso, which is... I think it's a contender for song of the summer, actually. And I don't feel strongly about Sabrina Carpenter, but now I do. So basically, like, she's a former like Nickelodeon Disney girl. She was the other half of Driver's License. So she was the girl that Olivia Rodrigo's ex like moved on to from Olivia Rodrigo, and she's kind of part of that lore. So she's always been in sort of like the also ran in that.
And she
whole
dates the
situation.
Guy from Salt.
And now she dates the guy from Saltburn, and she just right. opened for Taylor Swift on a lot of her like South American Eras Tour dates, and now she's like tight with Taylor. So she's sort of like whoever's plotting Sabrina's career is doing a very, very good job, because they sort of waited out the Olivia Rodrigo thing. She's no longer like sort of the villain in that situation, and now she's like released her like a genuinely really good pop song sort of off the back of the Taylor thing. She's in a high profile relationship, and she just did Coachella, so it's sort of like this big moment for her. And I'm like, you know what, I didn't really have an opinion on you before, but now if you're releasing good ass songs with a good ass music video, I'll take it. So okay, I can't get it out of my head.
I've seen the video, but I've like seen it with the on mute
right.
on, because it's gonna feed
not on mute
on the mute we will be listening on mute. No, I'm but I just, because the sound's never on, but I maybe I'll give it a chance. I'm more into Chapel Roan right now. That's my
oh yeah I mean me too.
Like, I was always like, eh, what is this? She's scaring me with the crate, like the
makeup and the hair. Yeah. It's kind of drag inspired. Yeah. Yeah.
But I love that she's kind of like, now that I kind of like, I'm looking at her, I'm like, oh, you're kind of giving Cyndi Lauper. You're kind of giving your vocal stylings are giving Annie Lennox. You're kind of like, there's some references there. I feel like maybe whether she knows that she's doing that or not, that's what's there. I love how nothing ever exists in a vacuum. Everything's been done. You can do kind of like offshoots of it and your own interpretation of it, but like whether she knows it or not, I think that she's been influenced by
I feel like she has a lot
that's not a drag
ideas,
I'm just,
clearly
you know.
No, I feel like I feel like a lot of her ideas are informed, and she probably knows that I think she knows a lot of what she's referencing, and I feel like a lot of it's, she's sort of starting to put it together in the right way now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it's always, and she hasn't been around for that long, but I feel like it's like, it's something's clicking right now. I feel like I kept seeing like viral clips from her Coachella set. So like that was a huge moment for her. The tiny desk I kept seeing, which was great. Yeah. Go watch that if you haven't. Like, she's having these moments that are sort of like locking her in, I think, to people's like kind of the front of their minds.
Interesting. I feel like we're seeing the beginning of her being like a very big something, you know. So
I completely agree. Yeah, she'll get it completely right, and it will take her to the next level in mainstream wise, I think.
Third favorite thing that happened this week, Siggy Flicker's son arrested. And I love that Siggy Flicker was part of it, because Siggy Flicker herself was posting about him when he was his activities on January 6th. He was storming the Capitol with all these people, which, by the way, I think really proves an excellent point that I've always made about the January 6th crowd, is that we kind of oversimplify it, and we just like to think that like, oh, everybody in January 6th was some toothless hillbilly.
Right.
No, the people that stormed the Capitol, these are people that took flights. Some of them even took private jets. These people have time to take off of work. These are lawyers. These are teachers. These are former policemen. It's kind of all over the place. And I think once people put that into perspective and really think about what we're up against as we go into November, sorry to get completely political for a second, but if the enemy, as it is, an insurrectionist, doesn't look just one way. And a lot of the times it's your judges, it's your people that are patrolling your streets. And I think that we as Americans have to like remember that to get serious for a second. But fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. And, I mean, they have power, money, and resources, even though we think that think they don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been fuck Siggy Flicker since I can't even remember when.
Since she left the show.
For so many reasons.
Since she left the show, honestly.
Yeah, like her performance on the show as she was leaving was fucking nuts anyways. But, you know, I think she moved, because she moved down to Florida full time at some point to go be near.
Tracked.
Yeah. But she lived like right, really, really close to Jackie. Yeah. Like you could see their houses from each other, I asked Jackie once, I was like, have you ever like run into her? She's like, no, I've never really like met her. And she's like, I've passed by her in the car. They have friends in common, but she said she'd like never really met her.
Lucky her.
And now, I know. And I think I realized why. So
yeah. I think they run in different circles, maybe.
I do like Jackie. I'm upset and I'm kind of bummed going into this new season of New Jersey because
same.
What's gonna...
I'm intrigued by how this all goes down, but yeah. I am a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Jumping ship.
Yeah. Also, I'm so sick of going to the fucking shore. We got to figure something out.
I would love to honestly bring them to the Hamptons, drive the extra few hours, and I would love to see the Jersey woman in the Hamptons, see what happens. Honestly.
I say this all the time, though. We got to get them on a different filming schedule.
Yeah, I think they're starting Christmas. With that on a lot of the franchises. They're tweaking the schedules because it helps it be less repetitive. You're right.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
What is else on your list before we head over to the B list?
My third obsession. I know we'll talk more about Bravo after this, but this mm-hmm. is non Bravo. I don't. Do you watch Palm Royale?
I do. Mm-hmm. I'm not caught up. Oh,
I'm not caught up either. But I am obsessed with it, and it's great. I feel like I talked to different people about it. Like some people are also obsessed with it, and then some people like are very critical of it. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm just sort of like, it's giving me what I want. Like it's Kristen Wiig is funny again. The aesthetics are on point. It's campy. It feels like the kind of show that Ryan Murphy like thinks he's making when he makes his shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's just, it's hitting for me. It just really is like on all cylinders. And I just love it.
It's scratching a part of my brain that is, you know, not usually scratched by some of these shows, but, a lot of people are very critical of it, like overly critical, and haven't even like watched more than 30 minutes of it.
Exactly.
Which makes me just feel like sometimes you just like some of y'all don't want to have fun.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, is it a perfect show? No, but it's like, is it drawn out a little bit? Yes. But like the cast is amazing. Like they're giving it's
so many things to love.
Very self-aware. Exactly. I'm like, we get shirtless Ricky Martin. I'm just like, I don't know. Like we get Carol Burnett, you know, it's just I think it's heaven.
Happy.
And it's, you know, more for us, you know, and you know? Everyone else doesn't want to watch it. So I'm obsessed with that.
I agree. I want to head over to the bonus episode, but really quick, tell the people about your podcast, recent guests. We said Brian Moreland's been on. Definitely check out that episode, guys, if you're interested about literally anything that we've been talking about for the past 45 minutes, because that would be right up your alley. You've had on, like you said, Bryce, who's Entertainment Tonight, right? Yeah, Entertainment Tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else?
So it's called Gabbing with Gib. It's twice a week. I tend to do one interview and then one sort of like discussion-y thing, usually about reality TV. So those are the ones that were like Brian and Bryce and people like that. I have one about Potomac coming out this week. But then Tuesday's usually an interview. So I just did Jesse from Summer House. I have Allie from Vanderpump Rules coming up. So it's kind of like a balance of talking to the people on the shows and then talking to people about the shows. So
love that.
That's Gabbing with Gib.
That's good. That's like a nice mix because sometimes you have these shows that just interview the people on the shows and you don't really get to get deep because
totally.
A lot of these people that film these shows don't watch television or only watch their show, you know, so.
Yeah. And like you can only go so deep with them in some of these interviews, but like, I don't know. I have fun talking to them. I think, you know, sometimes you get some good shit out of them, but it's a nice balance that I've tried to create.
Speaking of Jesse and Summer House, we are going to go over to the bonus episode because I want to get into all of that. I want to talk about my boyfriend, West. America's boyfriend, West. And we're going to talk about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, all of that. Tell the people where to find the podcast. Right. It's on all platforms, right? And where you listen.
Podcast is on all the platforms. Video on YouTube. You can follow me at Gibsonoma, GIBSONOMA on all the things. So yeah.
Is it the same on Twitter as well? Gibsonoma?
Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. You guys know where to find me. You can find the bonus episodes on patreon.com/thebelist. And we are going to run over there and we're going to talk about all these other things. And love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the B side. Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.